Welcome to Parallel Church. We're so glad to have you here. This is one of our locations here. We have locations in Tabor, so let's welcome everyone that's joining us this morning in Tabor with Pastor Renee and Jill. Welcome Claire's home with Pastor Brian and Heidi. Welcome Okotoks with Pastor Joel and Tanisha. Welcome Lloyd Minster with Pastor Mike and Kara. Welcome Swift Current with Pastor Tom and Lori. Welcome Lethbridge with Pastor Ralph and Cindy. Come on, welcome online with Pastor Tim and Jen. Welcome to all of you. And welcome to part two of the series, The Calling. We began last week with this statement, this quote from Mark Twain. He said this: "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." The two most important days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why. Welcome to The Calling, where I am on a mission, and this is not just a mission from me, but I believe this is a God-given mission, that God wants you to know that you are called, that you are chosen, that you were made on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this. In this series, I'm using a lot of Bible, because this is not Kelly's motivational speech. This is directly from God, that he wants to get across to you that you are called, that you have a mission, that you have a purpose. In fact, we learned last week in Psalm 139 that David said, "Hey, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that before I was even formed in my mother's womb, you had written down the days ordained for me before I was even born in a book." That God has a book, apparently in heaven with him nearby, with your name in it, and with not just your name in it, but with written down all of the days ordained, all the things he ordained for you to do, all of your purposes, all of your plans, all the things that he ordained for you to do. I'm curious about my book. I don't know if you're curious about yours. I want to know when I get to heaven one day, I want to look at that book and I want to see that I fulfilled everything that God destined for me to fulfill to the last period or exclamation mark, whatever, hopefully not a question mark. Amen to you. We learned last week that all of us are called. And we, in particular, looked at this verse in Ephesians 2, kind of the theme verse for this entire series is, "For we are God's masterpiece." Now, how many of you took my challenge last week, wrote this out, put it on your mirror or somewhere? Okay, four of you. Excellent. That's all good. Help me out, Okotoks. Let's go. Online, anybody? Okay. But if you did this, and I encourage you to do it still, I encourage you to write it out, "I am God's masterpiece." And it's hard to say, isn't it? Because we know ourselves intimately, more intimately than anybody else. And we know our faults, and we know our failures, and we know where we fall short. And we often compare ourselves to everybody else. And it's easier for us to believe that somebody else is God's masterpiece. But me, I've got flaws. I've got mistakes. I've got things that I'm ashamed of. Things that I know where I lack. So for me to look in the mirror and saying, "I'm God's masterpiece," it's hard. But yet, this is what God says of you, that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things, and here it is again, that he planned for us long ago. In this series, we've been looking at the story of David. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel 16. We began in this. You guys are all curious what this is for. This is in case anybody falls asleep. And I want you to know that I'm skilled with this. I grew up on a farm. I use this often with gophers. Pastor Ralph can attest. It hurt in the first service. So just so you're aware. But we're in 1 Samuel 16, learning about the life of David and how it connects with ours in many ways, principles in here that connects with ours. And I highly encourage you to bring your Bible to church. And the reason why I do that is, as I read through this, man, mark up your Bible, write notes in the side of your Bible, underline something that stands out. And if your Bible's too good to do that, get a new one. Right? If you're like, can I write in there? I don't want to write it. Please write in there, because it's an instruction manual for us in many ways. And God didn't create us and leave us on this planet without some instructions. Thank God. But let's pick up the story where we left off last week in 1 Samuel 16. We finished in verse 13, so I'm going to pick it up in verse 14. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." This is right after Samuel laid hands on David and anointed him, remember, to be the next king. David's just a young teenager. And it says right after that, that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And then it says in verse 15 that Saul's servants then said to him, "Behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you." Now, hold up. This has nothing to do with my message, but I feel like I need to address this in a big way, because this is the Bible. This is what it says. But I'm looking at this and going, wait, God can send an evil spirit, which goes against everything else that I read in the rest of the Bible. So how does God send an evil spirit? Especially when God, the Bible tells us, is holy, without sin, is perfection, that sin can't even stand in his presence, which is why there's, you know, the curtain and, you know, that separated man from God, and the high priest could only go in after he's cleansed, you know, got rid of all of his sins, confessed all of his sins and all the rest of it. And if he missed one, dropped dead. Like, sin does not exist in the presence of a holy God. So how can a holy God send an evil spirit? Right? It begs the question. And the way that I see this, and I've researched this and looked at other scholars, is here's what many believe, is that anything — this was written thousands and thousands of years ago by the prophet Samuel — that anything that was done in those days, anything that had supernatural attachment, anything that was supernatural or out of the ordinary happened, they attributed it to God. So when something supernatural happened with Saul, where he had the presence of God and all of a sudden the presence of God was removed, something happened and he started to manifest evil spirits, something supernatural, not normal, not a grumpy day, not a bad day, something supernatural, evil spirits, they said it's supernatural, it must have arrived from God. But here's the truth, is God, yes, removed his spirit from Saul, which allowed room for now the devil, the enemy, to come in and to terrorize Saul. In the same way that we see in the book of Job, where God took the hedge of protection, took his hand off of Job, which allowed the devil to swoop in and to wreak havoc. So this is in the same way. Does that answer this? Some of these questions? All right. Verse 16 says, "Let our Lord," talking about Saul, "now command your servants who are before you, let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you that he shall play the harp with his hand and you will be well." I'm very thankful that they asked for a skillful musician. That's good. Because bad musicians just make it worse, just saying. But here's something. Anybody else, when you're in a bad mood, anybody else use music as kind of a way to reset? Or if you're anxious, you use music to calm you down? Or when you're joyful, you play music that reflects your mood? Like, music is powerful, isn't it? And this is all they're saying. They're saying, hey, he's in a bad mood. Let's have somebody come in and not play metal. Let's have somebody come in and not with electric guitars, but come in with a harp. Let's calm this thing right down. Hopefully it's going to help him. Hopefully he's skillful. This is going to work. They don't know what else to do. So Saul said to his servants, okay, provide for me now a man who can play well. That's good. And bring him to me. Then verse 18. Then one of the young men said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, a handsome man. I have no idea what that has to do with anything, but it's important, apparently. And the Lord is with him. Okay, now watch. This is remarkable to me. This is remarkable to me because David is still, at most, in his mid-late teens at this point. And look at how Look at how this guy who says, I've seen David, who, remember, where do we find David? David's own father forgot him. He was so hidden on the backside of a mountain taking care of a few sheep. So how in the world did this guy, maybe this guy was walking down a path one day and saw this kid out looking about, you know, on looking after some sheep, and he was playing, you know, his harp, and he's like, wow, he's good. But look at how this guy describes David, a teenager. He describes him as a skillful musician, which he meets the qualifications. But then he goes on, a mighty man of valor. He's a teenager. But apparently, he's already being recognized for his character. It's amazing. He says, a warrior. He's a teenager. What has he ever? He's never been to war, except on the side of a mountain when a bear tried to attack the sheep. David took care of him. That'll get around. When a lion came, David took care of him. That'll get around. That story would spread. And they're going, this guy is skillful as a warrior, as a fighter, one who's prudent in speech. Apparently, he's been practicing that too to the sheep, a captive audience. Yeah, I mean, apparently he's good. I don't know. But this guy has seen it. And a handsome man, that's kind of weird. But the Lord, and he recognized already, a teenager, that the Lord is with him. Which, watch. This description of a man is more of a description of a good king, is it not? Than it is of a shepherd? Than it is of the musician they're looking for? One of the qualifications is he can play well, but also he can fight well, and also he's a really good guy, and also it appears like God is with him. This guy is different. This is what you need, Saul. Which is remarkable because all of this happened to a shepherd boy sitting on the side of a mountain taking care of sheep. It reminds me of this verse that Paul said in Ephesians 4. And I think this is a huge lesson for us. In Ephesians 4, Paul said this, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your circumstances. No. He says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called. In other words, what Paul is saying is, I know God has placed a vision inside of you, a calling inside of you. The fact that you are God's masterpiece, the fact that he's ordained days for you before you were even born. I know God's placed something inside of you greater. He says, don't live at the level at which you're at. Live at the level with inside of you that God has called you to. Not you. I know you're not you haven't reached it yet, but live up here. Don't live down here. In other words, David lived like a king on the side of a mountain babysitting a couple sheep. David lived like a king with the character of a king, with the skills of a king. David lived like a king even though he was a shepherd. And this is a challenge to you and me, is don't live according to your circumstances right now. Live according to the calling that God has placed inside of you. Don't have character right now for what the circumstances you're in. Well, I can get away with this and I can do this. Live with the character of which God has called you to. Don't use the skills right now and say it's a waste of time at my job and they don't even appreciate what I'm doing. Don't live at the level at which you're right now, the circumstances right now, the pay level you're at right now. Live according to the level at which God's called you to. Amen. And that goes on in David's story. It says, so Saul sent messengers to Jesse, that's David's dad, and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David his son. And then when David came to Saul and attended him, Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. That's a pretty big promotion from being a guitar player to you're protecting the king now with your life. And he says, then Saul sent to Jesse, his dad, and saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. In other words, he asked dad for permission to hire his son full time. That's basically all it means. And then verse 23, look at this. So it came about that whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well. And then it says this, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Okay, that's not normal. Okay, David is really good with the guitar. Okay, David can play music skillfully. And David is right up there. Like, some of the most skillful guitar players you know, I know. David's right up there. But I don't care if the most skillful guitar player on the planet played. It's unnatural. It's not normal that when someone plays an instrument that demons flee. That's not natural. That's supernatural. And here's what I want you to know, is that God has called you, that you are God's masterpiece, that every single one of you has a calling from God. You have a purpose. I'm here to tell you today, today I want you to get this, that God does not call you without equipping you with the skills and with the gifts necessary to accomplish that call. That there are natural skills, being able to play guitar, use a slingshot. That's where the slingshot comes in mind. Use a slingshot to kill a lion and a bear, and we'll see next week somebody else. That God uses all these skills, natural skills. But that there's something outer natural, something that David couldn't control, something supernatural at the same time, that when David used his natural ability to play the guitar, God used his supernatural ability to take care of evil spirits and to take care of demons. That God doesn't just equip you with a natural gift, God equips you with a spiritual gift too. That every one of us, and I want you to see this, I want you to get this, that every one of us has a natural gift. Something that you're better at than anybody else, something that God created inside of you, and that natural gift, that natural personality wasn't a mistake. It wasn't shaped by just your circumstances, that there's something inside of you, a natural gift inside of you, that it will point you toward your call. That God gave David this supernatural ability to lead, to have favor with anybody he ever encountered, that he knew one day that natural leadership ability was going to come in handy, not just for herding sheep, but for hurting people as a king, right? That there was a gift there. But God also gave David a natural ability to play music. What does that have to do with kingship? We'll figure that out in a moment. But David had this ability to play music, but God added his supernatural to David's natural, and it made a way for David. That you have a natural gift and also have access to supernatural gifts. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12. He's writing this to the entire church. He's writing this to us as believers, not just to pastors, not just to the spiritual people. Like, he's writing to all of us. He says this in verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, okay, the supernatural gifts. Now concerning the supernatural gifts, the spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. Which is why I read this verse a while ago, and I was like, I need to do a series on the calling. I need to do a series on the gifts. I need to let you know, because I feel like we as believers are unaware of the fact that each of us are called. I feel like we as believers are unaware of the fact that we have been equipped for that call. And that if, he says, I don't want you to be unaware, because if you're aware of the supernatural gifts, if you're aware of your natural gifts, you'll be able to do everything that I've accomplished you to do. That I've given you those natural gifts and those supernatural gifts for your call, to fulfill your call, to do everything that I've called you to do. That he doesn't just call us, he equips us too. And Paul goes on and he describes these spiritual gifts. He describes them this way. He says, God's various gifts are handed out. What's that next word? Come on, help me preach. God's various gifts are handed out just in the church. Doesn't say that. It says God's variety, which I'm thankful there is that. God's various gifts are handed out, where is it? Everywhere. But all originate in God's Spirit. Which, by the way, since Jesus died on the cross, when we accept Jesus as God and Jesus as Lord in our life, it says, the Bible says, that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. that we receive that gift on us, that that's not something that can be removed. That's bestowed upon us because we believe Jesus is God. Right? So where this is, Saul had God's spirit removed from him, that's pre-Jesus. Right? The post-Jesus, that doesn't happen. As soon as we say Jesus is Lord, God's spirit is in us and on us, which means that this all of this applies to each one of us. God's spirit is not just, God's anointing is not just on a select few, pastors, preachers, evangelists. God's anointing is on every one of us as believers. Okay, so watch this. He says, but they all originate in God's spirit. Then he says, God's various ministries are carried out just in the church. Doesn't say that, does it? God's various ministries are carried out where? Everywhere. That means everywhere? Like everywhere? Everywhere. Yeah, but surely not bars. Certainly not at my workplace. Certainly not on the street. Certainly not in my neighborhood. Certainly not. No, everywhere means everywhere. You know what also it means? Is that God's ministries aren't just given to a few. God's ministries are given to everyone, all of us. So just try this with me for a moment. I want you to repeat this. Say, I'm God's masterpiece, and I have a ministry. How'd that feel? Okay, like, come on. You have a ministry. That's what the Bible says. Not Kelly's idea. This is what the Bible says. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, and they all originate in our good looks. No, all originate in our great talents. All originate in our great opportunities. No, they all our ministries originate where? God's Spirit. Thank God it's not based on just my circumstances or just my opportunities or just my skill set or just, it originates with Him. Then he goes on, he says, God's various expressions of power are in action where? Just in the church. Just God's anointing just moves in the church. God's supernatural power just happens in the church. That only healing can happen in the church, in the front row of the church, only if we did altar calls and tunnels and all the rest. God, no, listen. Some of you are going, tunnels? What are you talking about? Some of you know. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. But God's power. So listen, David had a ministry. David had a natural gift to play guitar. But God's power, okay, God's power was in action when he played that guitar and evil spirits left. So David had a natural ability, you have a natural ability. David had a ministry, you have a ministry. David had access to the Spirit of God for power, and watch what happens. You have access to the same Spirit of God, originated from, to operate in supernatural power. Don't believe me? Look what Paul goes on to say. He says, each person... Each person, it doesn't say each pastor, each person is given something to do that shows how great they are. No. This shows how many likes they get on Instagram. No. That gives them more money in their bank account. No. That each of us has been given something to do that shows how good, how great God is. In other words, if you don't use your gift, if you don't use your ministry, if you don't access the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not you that suffers, it's somebody else who suffers because they don't know how good or how great or how powerful our God is because you're the minister. It says everyone gets in on it. Everyone. Everyone benefits. Everyone. All kinds of things are handed out by who? The Spirit. All kinds of opportunities are handed out by the pastor. That I need to wait until I'm given the opportunity to minister. No, the gifts aren't handed out by me or Pastor Ralph or Pastor Tim. The gifts are handed out by him. And all to all kinds of people, which means all kinds. Even your kind. Come on. No believer is excluded. We all get in on it. We all have something to do. We all have a ministry given to us, purpose for us before we were born. Come on, we're all called. We're all equipped for that call. And then Paul goes on to describe the things handed out by the Spirit. He says this, the variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous signs, acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these gifts have a common origin, the origin being God, but all are handed out by one, by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what when. One translation says it this way. Says that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts where there is need. So let me give you an example. One of those gifts up there, this is the supernatural gifts. This is the gifts of the Spirit. That there, a need is like when somebody is sick. So here's what happens. This is modern Christianity, not biblical Christianity. There's a difference. Modern Christianity says, oh, somebody's sick, you should go to a Benny Hinn crusade. Nobody knows who that is? Okay. White suit, healer, crusades, great. Or you should call the pastor and have him lay hands on you and pray for you. We should call somebody to do that. But here's what happens. This is what, you're a believer. The gift is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes that gift where there is need, according to one's translation, which means you're a believer. You lay hands on the sick and pray for them and watch what happens. The Holy Spirit distinguishes and decides who gets what where. See, the outcome isn't up to you. The obedience is you lay hands on the sick, you pray for the sick, and the power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit will come on that person, and they get healed. You have access to that. You have access to the discerning of spirits that you can tell. You have access to wisdom, supernatural wisdom. Anyone who lacks wisdom, let them ask. So you're sitting in a boardroom or you're sitting in your office and somebody asks you a question you don't know. You have access to the Holy Spirit. There's a need for wisdom. You have access to the Holy Spirit who distributes willingly in that situation. And all of a sudden, you'll have this idea that you don't know where it came from. It just suddenly just came and you say something. And as it comes out of your mouth, you're going, that was really good. I should probably write that down. That didn't come from here. Something happened. You have the supernatural idea. Guess what? You have access to the Spirit and to the gifts. But we also have natural gifts. Paul went on to say in Romans 12, look at this, he said this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Grace is God's unmerited favor. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's in serving, then serve. And you say, oh, I just want to help. I'm just serving. This is one gift that always gets diminished. Just, I'm just serving, I'm just helping, I'm just like this. If your gift is serving, come on, recognize that's a God-given gift. Well, David's probably thinking, I just play guitar. Like what's the? I just played a harp. I just started practicing on the side. There's nothing else to do. In 24/7 watching sheep. They didn't talk back to me. I was boring out there by myself. What else am I gonna do? I got bored, so I picked up the guitar. I didn't do much except. That when David started playing the guitar, all of a sudden the gift made room for him. Isn't that amazing? Well, I'm just serving. I'm just serving. I don't know. I'm just serving. I just help. I just help where I see help. It's not a big deal, except it's from God. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give. If it's leading, hey, do that. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's personalities, natural gifts. Some of you are naturally gifted leaders. You've been told since you were little. You're a natural leader. Some of you are naturally more mercy motivated. Some of you are naturally just generous with time and money, just all naturally. Don't stuff that down. Don't compare yourself. That's a God-given gift. And watch what happens when you're faithful with the gift. The gift will suddenly make room for you. And Solomon probably, you know, Solomon after David's dying is thinking about his dad when he wrote this, and he says, "A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men." That David just simply, I just picked it up. I don't know. Don't we do that? I don't know. I can just sing like an angel. I don't know. We make excuses. We minimize our gift. Except when David began to hone this gift, it gave him an opportunity to stand before a king, which brought him into the king's court, which, by the way, being the armor bearer of the king means that you're in all the activities. David was getting training of how a palace operates, how a king operates, simply because he was faithful with, I just serve. And it brought him before and made way for him. So be faithful with what you got naturally. Amen? Don't make excuses for it. Be faithful. I just shot a bear. It made way for him. So what do? Once you find your gift, you strut around. You're like, I'm all that. I'm the best. No. Peter told us, he said this, each of you. The Bible's kind of making it clear, huh? That's all of us. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's unmerited favor in various forms. That we're supposed, listen carefully. You serve to discover your gift. And when you discover your gift, you serve. You serve, you volunteer, you help out, you discover your gift. I volunteered for the worship team. Pastor Tim cut me. This is not a true story. He would if I tried out. I just know. I tried out to sing, and they're like, yeah, Pastor Coon. You might be shocked to know that I started out in ministry as a worship leader. If you heard me sing, you'd be shocked to know. And someone was like, I was a professional musician. I did do that. And they gave me a microphone and said, sing, because I can hold a little bit of a note. And then after the first concert, they pulled the microphone away from me like, yeah, no, you just stick to the bass. Check. But I led worship. And you know what? I led worship, and I just was faithfully that. And then I was given an opportunity, given a microphone to talk. And I was terrified. But all of a sudden when I talked, people are like, it's like you're talking just to me. Like you knew exactly where I was at. I don't live in your house. haven't tapped your house. I don't do that. I hear that all the time from people. You're just like you're talking just to me. That's not natural. That's not Kelly super smart. That's supernatural. That's the Holy Spirit doing something that I can't do. And what do I do with that? I decided I'll serve people with the gift that God, not me, has earned, God has given me. Do you see? Once you find it. So let's go back. Let's finish with this. Ephesians 2:10, again, here's our theme verse. I want you to see it. For we are God's masterpiece. That's the first thing you need to believe. You're not a mistake. You are God's masterpiece, made on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this. You are God's masterpiece. Now watch this, that he has created us. In other words, he created you and gave you natural gifts. He created you and gave you natural skills. Gave you, you know, David, natural ability to be a musician. David, a natural ability to lead. David, a natural ability to use a slingshot. That there's natural gifts that you've been given. Okay, created us. But then he says, anew in Christ Jesus, that because we are created anew in Christ Jesus, we all also have access to the supernatural gifts, to the spiritual gifts, to the gifts given by God's Spirit, that we have natural gifts, and we have supernatural gifts. And all of us have these things. Every one of us has access to all of these things, that you weren't created as God's masterpiece with a purpose and with a plan without being equipped with the right tools to accomplish that plan. So that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So here's today's takeaway, is I'm God's masterpiece, equipped with gifts to fulfill my call. Now, I want to help you. That's why I'm here. That's why I do what I do. I want to help you. And I want you this week to think about, just other than, you know, the four of you that wrote on the, you guys can do this, the rest of you got to write on your mirror. Come on. I'm God's masterpiece. I'm trying to help you. Right? It works. I'm God's masterpiece. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention this week to your natural gifts. What are other people recognizing you? Somebody else recognized in David, this guy's a pretty good musician. I don't know if he was sneaking out and hiding behind a bush, listening to David play on the side of him. I don't know how this guy knew, but this guy knew. Somebody else saw it. That people are going to see natural gifts and abilities in you. That I want you to pay attention to that. And I want you to look for opportunities for supernatural gifts. To be able to see where God does something beyond what you would say is normal. How did I know that? How did that happen? Something that's beyond just natural ability. Something just like, wow, what was that? That's supernatural. Pay attention to that. And listen, this week I want you to pay attention. And next week, at the end of this service next week, I'm going to give you access to free tools, free gifts tests, free personality tests, different things that I want to help you. I want to equip you as much as I possibly can so that you can take these free tests and discover and get on a journey to discover who did God make me to be. Because if you find your natural gift and recognize your supernatural, where God uses you supernaturally, then you're going to be able to discover more clearly what your purpose is. Amen. Is this good? Is this helping anybody? Okay. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you didn't make a mistake when we were born, that you didn't just place us on this planet without the instructions, without equipping us with the tools necessary to get the job done. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us, giving us undeserved favor, of gifting us with gifts and abilities to fulfill that call, that purpose you made for us to fulfill. And God, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you this week speak to each one of us clearly? Show us. I know you want us to know more than we want to know. Show us what we are created to do. Show us our natural gifts. Make it real and available and clear to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that you'd move supernaturally in each one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.